I'd like to draw your attention to here is notice this, not that we have righteousness. Did Paul say that we might have the righteousness of God? No, no, he didn't say that. Look carefully. That we might become the righteousness. Oh, that anyone who does not understand the teaching of repentance, of righteousness in the New Testament cannot expound this verse at all. We keep talking about we have the righteousness of God. We have nothing of the kind. We become the righteousness of God. It is what we are, not what we have, that saves us. You see, righteousness is not just something that is given to you as a package that you can have and continue living your sinful life, as is so often suggested. It doesn't matter what kind of a life you live. It matters most certainly. Righteousness is not a present that you can have and tuck it in your pocket like a passport. And then that day when you come to heaven, no matter how filthy and full of sin you are, you just pull out this passport and say, you see, I got righteousness as a present. You get nothing of the kind. Righteousness is not a present that you can sort of wave around. See, I got the gift of God. You either become the righteousness of God or you don't have the righteousness of God. That is Paul's teaching. That is the Lord's teaching. That is vital for us to understand. Don't think you can walk away with righteousness as a present. Christ's righteousness imputed to you, and so you can have it in your pocket. You see, you got it as a present. You can live your sinful life and get to heaven. No wonder the Christians live in sin because they think that righteousness doesn't matter. That's not Paul's teaching. Paul says Jesus died for us that we become God's righteousness. That's a powerful statement. We ourselves become a living expression of God's righteousness. That's what he's saying. We become the very expression of God's righteousness in the world. Which is, Paul is saying the same thing as the Lord Jesus. You become the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not one day we hope you might become the light. Or I strongly suggest that you should be a light even if you're not a light right now. What kind of Christians are we talking to? The true Christian is righteousness, whether he likes it or not. He is, because the Holy Spirit has come into him and changed his life and made him a new person. Wherever he goes, he is the expression of God's righteousness. And that righteousness is God's righteousness, not my righteousness. I didn't make myself a new creation. That's why we say it's God's grace, God's power. He made me the new person that I am. We don't have anything to boast about. I didn't make myself the person that I am. If I am righteous, it is because God made me righteous by the Spirit that he has given to me. That's wonderful Christianity. I don't have to keep apologizing and saying, I'm sorry, I'm this kind of a Christian, I'm bad, be patient with me. I mean, God hasn't finished with me yet. I've only been a Christian for 25 years, and I have another few years to live. But how long do you want to be a Christian before you can stop apologizing for being a Christian? It is God who makes us what we are. And if we are not what we are, then the fault is with God, or the fault is with you, that you have not put yourself in God's hands so that he can mold you, so that he can put his Spirit within you. If you apologize, you're either suggesting that God does not do a very good job of making you a new creature, or you confess that you are not a Christian at all, because you have not let him make you a new creature. Which of the two is correct? I suggest that it is you who have not let him make you the new creature you should be. God doesn't have to apologize for his workmanship, because when he makes a person a new creature, he makes a new creature. And you don't make any mistake about it. You look at God's workmanship and it is good. And I would like to see more of God's workmanship in the church, where we don't have to stop apologizing and say, sorry, I don't know the Bible well enough, that's why I behave like a savage. I mean, sometimes I lose my temper. What are you apologizing for? You have not surrendered your life to God. That's why God hasn't been able to change you. God's workmanship is good. And in Genesis we saw, he looked at what he created, and it is good. It is good. God doesn't make any apologies for his work. It is we who mess up the whole thing. I would to God we have a church today that can be said that Jesus died for us and he did not die in vain. That we are the righteousness of God, the very manifestation of God's righteousness in the world. Let God transform this church. Let God transform each of us to be the kind of Christians that Jesus died to make us to become. So the Apostle Paul goes on, and he dares to speak of the Christian as righteousness. I don't know how many Christians you dare to describe as the living expression of righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians, the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Have you ever been embarrassed by this verse? 2 Corinthians 14. We often quote this to young Christians to tell them not to marry non-Christians. Why? Well, we say here, do not be mismated with unbelievers. For what partnership has what? Has righteousness and iniquity? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Paul understands that a Christian does not just have righteousness. He is righteousness, as we saw. He is the righteousness of God. And so he says, what partnership has righteousness got to do with iniquity? Or light, because the Christian is light. He's not hopefully one day going to become light. He is light, or he's not a Christian. That's as simple as that. The Bible has clean-cut, straight lines. No vague lines where you don't know where you cross the border. The lines are sharp and clear. You're either light or you're not a Christian. You're either righteous or you're not a Christian. And because you are righteous, God's righteousness. So what fellowship has righteousness with iniquity? Now, unless you're righteous, no wonder you say, well, what difference if I make marry a non-Christian? What difference? Of course, if you're not righteousness, you don't know what difference it makes to marry a non-Christian, because you don't know what is righteousness and you don't know what is non-righteousness, what is iniquity. So, of course, the border becomes blurred and you don't know the difference. Anyone who is a new creature knows immediately. He doesn't have to have this drummed into him. He knows. I am the manifestation of God's righteousness, of his grace in my life. And therefore, I have no association. I'm not going to be mated to iniquity. This is not a judgment of opinion. It's not to say, I was once iniquity, but God in his mercy made me to be righteousness. You see, Paul can speak in these absolutes. And that is refreshing in a day when we have Christianity that is all watered down, where nothing is clearly black or white, or where the lines are drawn at the wrong places. And so we press and come towards the last of these things. I think we come to see by now that righteousness, why I said at the beginning, it is the key, the essence, the substance, the foundation of the Lord's teaching. I hope you understand it well. Not only that you might be saved, but when you explain it to a non-Christian, when you go out to witness to other people, that you can point out to him the path of life, and not cause him to stumble, and not be a blind guide to the blind so that you fall into the pit and he falls into the pit with you. Never again cheapen the gospel to say, well, it doesn't matter whether there's righteousness in your life, it doesn't matter how you live, just believe in Jesus and he forgives all your sins and you can, well, if you live in sin, never mind, God understands, he's very patient, he's very kind. What kind of teaching is this? This is not Bible. This is not the message of the gospel. Remember clearly then, become a new person is what salvation is about. God's power, transforming the sinful man, transforming darkness into light. Once you were darkness, Paul says, but now you are light. Not you have light, you are light in the world. That's the language Paul speaks, and now so easy to understand, so clear, when you understand that righteousness is the very foundation of Scripture. So when you go and tell other people how to become a Christian, and don't just bungle around in something called four spiritual laws and the like, get into this matter of transformed person, a new creature, a new person. By all means, use four spiritual laws as leading up to that, if you like. But don't stop there. That's not the end of the business. Salvation is the expression of God's saving power in our lives, and you become God's righteousness. And such is God's concern for righteousness that, you know, we read in 2 Peter that in the new heaven and the new earth, righteousness will dwell. God so loves righteousness. He is so concerned about righteousness that when he recreates heaven and earth, when he will make a new heaven and a new earth, righteousness will dwell there. Do you see what it means? Whenever God creates a new creation, whether it is spiritual or physical, it is always with the intention and with the supreme purpose that righteousness dwells there. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Peter says, 2 Peter 3:13, he says, there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now that truly is a vision that kindled Peter's heart. But according to his promise, he says, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Righteousness then is to be like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Lord Jesus is described as the righteous. He is the righteous. He is righteousness. And we, as new people, become like him. Not because we are better than anyone else, not because we are good in ourselves, but because he made us that way. We thank God for so great salvation. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.